B-Pod Studios.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. No!
It's the
Bengals. Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in his chest.
Everyone loves the Bankroll Boys. By the way, this morning, we will be giving away a pair of round-trip tickets from Boston to Hawaii, courtesy of Hawaiian Airlines, in celebration of the Celtics' opening against the Pacers and Hawaiian Airlines' new nonstop flights from Boston to Hawaii. It's the same kind of situation going on over there. We'll be giving away two round-trip tickets, compliments of Hawaiian Airlines.
Yeah, you have to just listen to the show, and around 9:45 or so, we will ask you a question about something that happened during the program, and if you're the right caller and you get it correct, those tickets are yours.
Well, let me tell you this. The Bankroll Boys are brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River and Templeton Casino Hotels, the only place in New England where you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com. Now, gentlemen, how was the tournament for you? We have Dan Lifshitz and Joe Murray, who's constantly high. Now,
not true.
Have you stopped?
By the way, it is not my weed pen.
It was a CBD pen.
Thank you. All right, I just want to.
It's not even illegal. I mean, you could. I mean, really, what's anyone going to do? There's a CBD shop in Newton Center.
Yep.
It's just weird that someone bring it to work.
Not really. It's like taking a Tylenol. Can you? I have a question. I know you can't smoke in buildings, but can you vape in a building?
I think that's a big problem.
I go to the bars and vape all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No one's ever said a thing to me. I'm not sure why, if they would say anything to me, but yeah.
You're vaping weed?
Yeah, the pen, yes.
Okay.
But that was.
Yeah, how would they know, though? They don't know any different.
Yeah, I don't think that it's a big thing to have the CBD pen here. Because it could be someone who's just suffering from, you know, chronic pain or something like that. But nonetheless, all right.
Real quick, before we move on, dude, how was WrestleMania? I saw the pics.
WrestleMania was awesome. 82,000 people in there. Hung out with Sarge and Andy all weekend. Jay's too, on his own.
The whole time.
Now, what is going on with that? What is going on with Jay's too in just he was by himself?
Yeah, he went to an event that we didn't on Saturday night.
Yeah, we saw him there in the
Ring
in the
of
front
Honor.
Row.
And NXT was at front row for that. But I'm like over New York. Like, it's too big.
I'll get into it
over the weekend.
Joe
but,
Murray,
yeah.
Out on New York.
Yeah, out on New York.
I get that.
I don't like New York either.
A lot of walking, not my thing.
Yeah, and getting there is never as easy as you think it's going to be.
Brooklyn was an experience.
I like Brooklyn, but getting there is a pain in the ass.
Yep, it was.
Then you, I spend all my time on the Lower East Side. That's the only place that I hang out when I'm in New York.
Jay Stu did tell us, however, that he purposely left Sarge out of that interview what we had with Elias.
Right.
So after all that controversy, he said there's no controversy. I did want him to be part of the interview.
Yeah, and Sarge and Andy were at the Hall of Fame event that there was someone who attacked Bret Hart.
Saw the video, man.
And that was no bueno. The guy got beat up big time.
Yeah,
all over the place.
He got killed.
Usually what happens at a wrestling event. You attack a wrestler, usually it doesn't go well for you.
I would imagine. All right, so you guys, how did the tournament end up for you? Mr. Lifshitz.
Not great. I'll just say it like that. I had a lot invested in Michigan State, so not great. We'll just leave it there.
Did Vegas take a big hit? Is this one of those where probably lost a lot of money?
Because no one
they
thought
did
Virginia.
Very well.
Did they?
Yeah, no one thought
Texas
Virginia.
Tech, too. You saw the guy who had that ticket. I don't know if he ever sold it, but at one point he was offered $125,000.
He didn't sell it. He was an idiot. I mean, here's the thing. I wanted to hedge my Michigan State. If they'd beaten Texas Tech, I was going to hedge out and be a very happy boy. Unfortunately, they didn't, and I didn't want to hedge twice. He had the opportunity to hedge, and he let it ride. Yeah. And I mean, he had some futures on Virginia, so he made money off the actual, you know, the game. But the fact is that he basically gave up, you know, a guaranteed $125,000 because he wanted to ride it. I don't know how much he made, but he did not hedge. He did not do anything. He just let it ride.
Well, geez.
You know, there's an app called PropSwap. If you have a ticket, you can trade it in and get your money before the bet actually happens. So in that case, I would have taken the $125,000 and walked away.
Legal in Massachusetts, by the way. It's the only way you can legally get a ticket in Massachusetts is if you go through PropSwap. Great, great app.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, what do you call it there? What was the big thing with Regis Philbin in it? Where they gave you the opportunity that they opened up a briefcase? Howie Mandel does it. Deal or no deal?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's exactly like
deal or no deal. Who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah, it's like eBay for sports.
I think it's deal or no deal.
Yeah, deal or no deal is the Howie Mandel one, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so delighted by his presence, I don't even know what's going on in the game.
All right, so, but you did well in the championship game, Joe.
Yeah, I had Virginia in the over, hit that. Which starts the week off well.
Okay.
But just real quick, we went 60% during college basketball season.
Well, that's
not 75
that's
or anything.
That's not as good
like
as
that.
Vegas Dave.
But
nice. Or whatever that guy's name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, all documented at the Action Network.
That's impressive. All right. So
have we had Lifshatz on since we've known about Vegas
no,
Dave?
No, you do not like Vegas Dave.
Well, I was on the other week talking about it. I'm not
oh, that's right. You were. That's right. Right. That's okay. Right. You don't like him and you weren't afraid to tell him.
No.
A lot of the cappers we know all blocked from him.
Yeah, oh yeah, he blocks everyone.
Just he's sending us, hey, look, you know, we got the golden ticket. We're blocked from Vegas, Dave. I'm not yet.
Oh, you better start working hard.
Work on that. You got to work on that.
All right, so Masters. Give us some prop bets on the Masters here.
So, again, the way I would go with betting the Masters is don't bet Tiger, okay, because he's probably not going to win. And I'd sometimes stay away from the favorite. Just don't do the square play. But I got a buddy who bets golf. He only bets golf, and he hits like for big time, like $100 to win like $4,800.
Does
like,
his name rhyme with Marty?
No.
And does he work on the midday show?
It does not. But he gave me a tip that the two previous events before the Masters, anyone who was up 13 strokes or more generally wins this event, and those players are Rory, DJ, Fleetwood, and Matsuyama. And the other honorable mentions are Justin Thomas, Kuchar, and Watson. So I think any of those golfers are going to win the Masters.
Okay. So you're saying you're spreading money around.
Bet eight guys, in other words.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because listen, if one of them hits, it's going to wash out all the rest of the bets.
Okay.
So I mean, Rory like, right now is plus 600. You get Dustin Johnson at plus 700, and Justin Rose is plus 900. So, like, to me, that's the square play. Stay away from the square play. I like Matsuyama. Like, that's somebody I would take a look at.
Okay, why?
Just because he falls into that category, but he's also plus 2,400.
Okay. Could you pick him out in a picture?
I believe he's the smiling assassin. I'm not sure, but I think I could.
Okay. But you know what? A lot of people gamble. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be overly familiar with the sport.
I don't know what the mascots are for some of the teams we bet on. So
that's right.
That is fair and valid.
All right. Now, did you guys bet on the NIT?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, he did not. I did.
He was a Lipscomb guy.
I actually did very well in the NIT. I think I did better overall in the NIT than the tournament, thanks to Michigan State. So, yeah.
All right, so let's take a look at the playoffs. The Celtics, where are they as far as the Eastern Conference? Like, is there a do you guys have a list of who's favored to win in the East, or how are you guys betting this?
So as far as I know, there have not been any odds released yet. The Celtics are going to be fourth to win the Eastern Conference. I mean, that's how it's going to be. They're going to be after Milwaukee. They're going to be after Toronto. They're probably going to be after Philly as well, regardless of the Embiid injury situation. Listen, losing Marcus Smart's going to hurt them. It's going to cost them a little bit in the series price. They're not going to really have anyone to cover for Milwaukee. And, you know, on the perimeter, and Milwaukee's a much better three-point shooting team this year. Listen, if you want to bet the Celtics, go ahead. I won't be doing it.
Okay, who are you betting?
Me personally, I mean, the way I've been betting the NBA in terms of the finals, and Joe and I have talked about on the podcast, is I took early on the matchup. So instead of just picking Golden State to win and laying the juice, which is like minus 200, I took, and I have pretty decent sized futures on both Toronto versus Golden State in the finals and Milwaukee versus Golden State in the finals. I also have a little bit on Boston from the start of the season when they were offering pretty good odds on that actual matchup. So between those three, I'm going to break even no matter what, as long as one of those three teams makes it. And I'll do very well if Milwaukee or Toronto makes it. I would suggest if you're still looking to do something, you know, still looking to bet it, Toronto is probably the team I would go with from the East.
Yeah, I got the odds right now from Odds Checker. It's not, they haven't really come out yet, but Golden State's minus 210. I'm fading Golden State. Like, everyone just thinks they're going to roll through. I like the Rockets plus 1,200.
That's so not you. This is like the squarest part of the entire year. This is Joe Murray alley.
I will say this, though. NBA, crush. Crush NBA. Home teams win. Whenever teams need to even a series, it always happens. And watch the officials. And I'm not just saying that as, the game's rigged or anything. Sometimes the officials have an impact on which team you should favor going into a game.
100%.
Like, if some teams favor the home team, you got to bet the home team.
They will. The NBA literally throws out refs to even out series and elongate them. That's not a lie. That happens every single year.
Controversy.
Celtics are plus 2,300. So if you think they can win the championship, plus 2,300. Raptors plus 1,100 looks good. And Milwaukee's plus 600. Again, out on the Warriors and Milwaukee. I think Toronto and the Rockets have the best value.
All right. Well, listen, Lifshatz has been on fire with hockey this year. And you can listen to the Over Under podcast.
Quickly, who are you picking to win the throne, the Iron Throne, and Game of Thrones? There's odds out for that.
All right, well, let me do it this. They can pick that when I say the Stone Cold Lock of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River Casino Hotel. All right, we'll just say this might not be the lock, but we'll say what's the question about Game of Thrones?
Vegas has odds now as to who is going to be seated on the Iron Throne at the end of Game of Thrones. Ultimately, the winner of Game of Thrones. Who are you picking? What are the odds?
Bran Stark plus 220.
Now he's the leader in the clubhouse, right? Yep. Like, he's the favorite
guy. Square play.
Jon Snow's plus 350.
Okay, so Bran Stark's the blind kid, right?
Yep.
Right. Okay, yes. That's what I thought.
Sees all.
What about the Night Walker, whatever his name is? The Night King. See, I think ended on a downer. I think you got to go Night King on that.
I think if you're looking to make real money, Bran plus 220, I agree, is the way to go. I mean, his odds moved so monumentally for no reason. There's probably some leaks when it comes to that stuff. That
By the
would
way,
be kind of the way I
tons would of people bet wrestling. I did the podcast with Stu and Sarge. People bet wrestling. Becky Lynch hit. That was one of our locks last week.
Okay, but did you think that match ended in an odd way?
It was a botch. I thought it was a botch. And from everything I heard,
her hand, right?
I didn't hear that.
See, I heard she may have broken like one of her fingers. And that's why it was a botch at the end of it.
Yeah, I think the ref got suspended because got some sort of fine.
Hang on. The wrestling ref got suspended.
I read that. Yeah,
he didn't call a clean match.
And listen, her shoulder was up. It was a botch.
It was like the Montreal Screwjob.
He let a chair in the ring one
more
time. My
God, he was distracted by the beautiful girl ringside and missed the chair. I can't believe they suspended him. Did you see the thing on Vice about the Macho Man last night?
I did not.
They have a series of six documentaries based on the dark world of wrestling. So you should get on that.
By the way, a degenerate won Jeopardy. I think that's outstanding.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Incredible.
I love the fact that degenerates aren't just getting into sports, but they're getting into everything else to win money.
Now, can you bet on him? Can you bet on Jeopardy?
I don't know, but that should be a problem.
There were odds last night at a couple different books. Would he continue to be would he continue to win last night? And he won again. So if you bet him to win last night, you cashed again.
Oh, finally, should you put any money on Columbus Blue Jackets after they've won one game against Tampa Bay?
In fact, if you're going to bet Tampa Bay, if you want Tampa Bay to win the cup tonight, or if you're hoping that Columbus wins again, but I would say tonight's probably the best time to do it.
Okay.
All right.
I like the Bruins tonight, too. Minus 140.
I think the Leafs are going to win that series. I've been documented saying that. Yeah.
Oh.
It seems like I'm the only person in Boston picking them, so.
There you go.
Why?
Because the Leafs got significantly better and the Bruins did not. Rask has been horrible for the past, month and a half.
Leafs have been horrible the last month.
Yeah, but at least their goaltender doesn't have a subpar.
You're picking Freddie Anderson to win a playoff series?
It's Tuukka Rask, John. Relax.
It's also Anderson's a horrible playoff goaltender.
And he's still been better than Rask. I mean, let's be
serious.
They've
lost 11 out of 16 entering the playoffs. But better way, man.
Why don't you guys have a little separate bet here?
I like it. I like it. You guys, you want to play?
I don't have his bankroll, man. I can't stay with him. Kidding me?
We'll make a side bet, John.
All right.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much for the time. The Over Under Podcast, Dan Lifshatz, Joe Murray. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. No!
It's the Bengals.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie, quick three right side gun.
Kyrie Irving.
Into Kyrie. Switches to the left hand and lays it in.
Plays here. 98.5, the Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5, the Sports Hub app now.
Marshawn to Bergeron. He scores! Patrice Bergeron!
Side Chara, center deflected, they score! What a pass by the captain, Zdeno Chara! 8-3 Bruins.
Over to Marshawn, he waits, Pasternak scores! Patrick for David Pasternak.
Lick it, boom, boom, down.
Pasternak's shot scores! 34 seconds into the third, the Bruins pour gas on the fire.
That should be point number 100.
Mike took a Marchand, he scores! Fires, he scores! Jake DeBrusk, second of the night, a snipe inside the far post!
First one was Toucher and Rich, so thanks, boys.
Out of the boxes, DeBrusk might have a breakaway. He'll scamper into the slot, forehand, shoots, he scores!
I think it was 11 for 11 or something like that.
Oh, Chara drops Evander Kane. Evander Kane goes after Chara, punches him while he's down. That's a mistake! The captain tempted to twist his head off like a bottle cap. Yeah, Chara's just using his head as target practice. Had enough.
But it's just so exciting. I mean, to have a chance to play for a Stanley Cup.
Playoffs, it's a different feel, and I think we're excited about the matchup and excited at the opportunity to play him again.
Dabrowski scores! Tic-tac-toe! Jake Dabrowski!
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, to be honest. Hopefully getting on them. I think I'm going on the show on Thursday, so, you know, don't want to jinx anything or say anything, but it'll be nice to talk to those guys, that's for sure.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. This morning we'll be giving away a pair of round-trip tickets from Boston to Hawaii, courtesy of Hawaiian Airlines. So that will be going on around 9:45. And here's the deal, is that I should say 9:50. Here's the deal is that you have to remember something from the show this morning and to be able to answer the question. So that's how we're doing this. You just heard Dan Livshed say that he likes Toronto in this series. It starts tonight, 7 o'clock pregame here at the station, 6:30. And the reason is Rask, who has indeed struggled over the last couple months, but I want to read Kevin Ball-DuPont. I don't understand, like, his point. So he talks about how the Blackhawks in 2000 scored two goals in the span of 17.7 seconds.
It's 2010, right?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's 2 years after they won the cup.
And
it
says, what do Boston fans and radio hosts remember most about that agonizing June night at the Garden? And they say, Rask, of course. Nothing else. Rask and net, unable to stifle the matching gut punches by Brian Bickell and Boland, the latter of whom it never suited up again for the Hawks. A bounce here, a bounce there, Rask recalled the details of that series, particularly
the final two goals still living in his memory a half dozen years later. At the end of the day, you're a goalie. If you, you lose it, yeah, people remember that. And yes, you do remember that. And he has not been good the last couple months of the season. And I don't understand the blind defense of him. Now, he's going to start this series. And, you know, Cassidy came on and basically said he's not afraid to put in Halak. But if he did, but Rask is the guy, and it's going to take a little bit for him to put in Halak. You know, he's not going to just panic and put him out there. But there's this narrative right here that we can't be concerned about Tuukka Rask, because going into the series, what's your major concern?
Well, I mean, right now it's Tuukka Rask. I mean,
yeah.
Ever since March 1st, he's been, what is it, like a 8, was it an 8-1, 81%, I think, or something. It's something awful like that. Let me pull that up. But it's like shockingly low ever since March 1st. So he started off the season poorly and then, of course, went on a tear and then ended the season about as poorly as you could. So, sure, I mean, you have a reason to be concerned. Yeah, it's an 881 save percentage. So he went from a career of 924 to an 881, which is obviously, and this is the worst save percentage of his career, which
by a little,
Still, it's
the
still
last 4 years, it's pretty much the same. And I was just debating back and forth with Dan Lifschitz. I mean, Frederik Andersen has allowed 4 goals or more in 6 of his last 10 starts.
But
I mean,
that's
he's
fine.
Just as poor.
Take him away, but it doesn't mean you can't be a little concerned about Tuukka Rask. And how short of a leash that he's going to have. And Bruce Cassidy continues to state that his confidence in both goalies. And Yaroslav Halak keeps mentioning his playoff experience. So, I mean, I don't. I also believe, however, that if Tuukka blows it tonight and just looks awful, that he's going to give him another game.
Yes,
I think
yes,
he will. He'll give him at least 2 games.
Yep.
I don't know if he gives him 2 games, but he's certainly going to give him 1.5. And it would have to be a disaster in game 2.
That's fair.
I mean, it would have to be real bad, real quick to get pulled, and then if you lose 2 games at home, you got to play Halak.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that too.
And then here comes DuPont again in the 7th season since assuming the number one job here. In the wake of Tim Thomas's departure, Rask has recorded 218 wins, second league wide to only Brandon Holtby. Among goalies who played more than 300 games in that stretch, he's second in goals against average behind Ben Bishop and third in save percentage behind Bishop and Bobrovsky. He also won the Vezina Trophy he picked up the season immediately following the 13 playoff loss. Yeah, and he got paid, and he's got a long-term deal, and, you know, he goes through stretches where he's very, very good. But, again, he's a concern in the playoffs. There is a concern about him. He finished the season poorly. And it's not like he's worn out. I mean,
no.
I mean, Halak played a lot this year and had success.
All right, here's Bruce Cassidy, who was asked about Yaroslav Halak.
Well, I'd say I had confidence in him without ever seeing him play in a Bruins uniform, for one. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. He's been in the league, had success. I think it was early in the year. We had some D-men down. There was a weekend he played, I think it was Toronto and Vegas, where he gave up a goal. I think each game we were up around 35, 40 shots. We knew we weren't going to be clean coming out of our end because we were putting some kids in there that just who they were at the time. And we had to make sure that we were defending well from plays that weren't executed well. I think, you know, his team, he really proved that, hey, he can.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously he's earned the respect of his teammates as well, and he said that yesterday on our show as well.
All right, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hold on 1 second. I just got to take off speed. There we go. Listen, say the Bruins win tonight, right? But the score is 5-4 or 6-5. You got to go with Halak in the next game.
You can't if they win.
Why?
No matter what, because of the confidence level. You have to keep Tuukka Rask confident. You get a win in the playoffs, you ride that. I don't care how high the score is.
There's no style points during the playoffs.
I mean, that's like saying Paul Bishop.
But if he lets up 4 or 5 goals, even though they win, he still let up 4 or 5 goals,
okay,
guys.
Should Bishop start for Tampa Bay in game 2?
No.
Vasilevsky,
I'm sorry, for Tampa Bay in game 2.
I mean, that's up to the coach. But our experience with Rask is a lot different than their experience with Vasilevsky, if you understand what I'm saying. Because once it's in his head, it doesn't leave his head. That's the problem with Rask.
I don't care how you win. If you win with Tuukka Rask, his confidence is still going to be up despite getting shelled. Mark, I understand what you're saying. And I also don't think Cassidy's the kind of guy that would pull a goalie right after he won in the playoffs.
And there's nobody that would pull a goalie after they won in the playoffs. Again, is Tampa going to – Tampa let up four goals in a row. Are they going to pull their goaltender in game two?
Guy was a Vezina Trophy finalist. No.
Phil Esposito, what do you think?
A circle point, a drop pass, they come back, and Sandy clears it.
Yeah. He is trying so hard not to swear. Like, Phil Esposito, it's taking everything in him not to swear.
I think that right circle. McDonough pulls up. Ryan McDonough. A little drop feed, Chernak over his stick, and here's Foligno on a breakaway the other way. Foligno's in alone. Score!
Golly, what a bad play.
Painting a picture with
Well, each team has a breakaway goal. A big goal for Nick Foligno to make it 3-1.
Thanks, Dad.
I mean,
watching the game with your dad.
No, you're listening to the game and having the pitcher take the picture in your mind's eye, sitting there and listening to the in-depth analysis of Mr. Esposito.
Left circle point, a drop pass, they come back, and Sandy clears it. He read that pass. So Hedman will regroup. One penalty is up. Minute 48 left in the back end of the double liner. Hedman across the blue line. Yeah, he has room to walk it right circle. A little feed, Palat off his stick. Anderson is steal in the near corner. Palat checks him. The puck is going to be grabbed by Kucherov, but a centering feed stolen by Jenner. Out to Anderson, shorthanded at center ice, 2-on-2 with Savard. Anderson across the blue line, left circle, cuts to the slot. Dangerous here, he shoots and scores! Shorthanded goal, Anderson, and we are tied at 3.
I sometimes think that his headphones are on, but he can't hear Dave Mishkin.
I don't know if his headphones are on.
I think he just, like, talks. I think they're on. Well, no, I think they're on his head, but they're not on. It's just a drown-out Michigan.
I don't think they're on his head. So, I think that he just sits down.
Someone get a highball glass and just tip with some ice and clink it around.
Yeah.
He might be sober for all I know, but I like the idea of him, like, rolling in and, like, Len Dawson, they say. Len Dawson would just come in with these massive gin and tonics and just sit there during the game, calling the games and just boozing it up. And what were you going to do? It was Lane Dawson in Kansas City. Were you going to fire him?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take your call. 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 thus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Roof.
Welcome back to Foxborough. Practice number 2 of training camp.
From training camp.
It just matters that we won, man. It
was the championship celebrations.
I mean, it was like a home game here. We love you guys.
This is where Boston talks sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was good this year. I think it was 11 for 11 or something like that. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy, to be honest. Hopefully getting on them. I think I'm going on the show on Thursday. So, you know, don't want to jinx anything or say anything, but it would be nice to talk to those guys. That's for sure.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight, 7 o'clock face-off. Toronto Bruins.
And at 9:20, you'll hear that guy right there, Jake DeBrusk, who requested he come on today.
Because he is a very superstitious man that believes in magical thinking.
Keep a good thing going.
He believes in magical thinking. All right. Let's go to Justin. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, so I don't think Rask, I think he gets a bad rap because throughout the years I've seen a more glaring issue. It's the Bruins' offense in elimination games. If you go back to 2013 and you count every game that they've been eliminated, against Chicago they scored 2 goals. Against Montreal, they scored 1. Against Ottawa, they scored 1 in their elimination game. And then against Tampa, they scored 1 goal. What's the glaring issue here?
They're all, if those numbers are all true, obviously their offense.
But don't you believe that this is a different team? I mean,
I also have a. I believe that this isn't a different team too. But Rask is good enough to take you to the cup, and it's been proven. I mean, let's look at Tim Thomas's Game 7 against Montreal back in 2011. He let up 3 goals, got 4 goals in support. How many goals did Rask let up in 2014 against Montreal? 3. He got 1 goal in goal support.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at if you
it's
look
not Rask, well, he's good enough.
Well, if you look at his statistically how he's been in the playoffs since then, it hasn't been great. So, I mean, you can make the case that, and listen, the offense has not been great the last couple of years. This year is a different story. Are you a little worried about depth? But they seem to have kind of righted the ship on that. But you know, you can make excuses for Rask, but he has not been tremendous lately in the playoffs. Owen, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Morning.
Hey.
I'm a big Tuukka guy, but to say that, for people to say that Tuukka Rask, they're not worried about him going to the playoffs, it's kind of absurd because, like the last caller said, yeah, the offense wasn't there. But even in games like this season, you could see Tuukka Rask letting in soft goals, like the last game of the season against Florida. Let an absolute soft one right after the blue line. And I don't see the Bruins winning this series against Toronto without a start from Halak just because of Tuukka Rask. And I hate to say this phrase, but I feel like load management is too much for Tuukka.
Well, I think that even Bruce Cassidy said, I don't know if it was on our show, if I just heard him say this during his presser, but he was talking about how Tuukka Rask isn't built for having that kind of load, like to do 60-something games. He goes, you know, he's just, his body isn't like built like for that. So having Halak has been a luxury, and the more he continues to talk that way, I also think that that leash is going to be fairly short. So, I mean, I'm with you, Fred. If he ends up losing game one and gets down significantly in game two, it's Halak time. And how long he keeps him in, you just ride the hot hand. And if you have to go back and forth, if they continue to lose, then you just have to just switch him up and shake him up. But I don't have any kind of question as to whether or not Cassidy's going to hesitate using Halak if he has to.
Well, the cup year against Chicago, he was very good. He had a .940 save percentage.
As a matter of fact, I think I've seen people compare, we'll have Haggerty on later on, side by side, because everyone talks about Tim Thomas's Stanley Cup run and how it was just an all-timer. But I've seen the stats from that season, the 2013 season, how Tuukka Rask did compared to what Tim Thomas did 2 years before, and it's almost identical.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, well, Rask had a great playoffs that year, but you also have to remember the kind of saves that Tim Thomas made. I mean, Tim Thomas won that cup for them. Then in 2014 playoffs, he had a 9.28. The 9.20, and then last year 9.03, which is not good. So, really, 2013, it was the one playoff year that he was unbelievable. So, hopefully he can bring that back. Tom, go ahead.
Sig and Migs, boys. How you doing this morning?
What's up, Tom?
A couple callers ago, the guy that said that after whoever it was, I don't know, that you have to pull Tuukka Rask after game one if he scores or if he lets 4 or 5 goals up. Those are the kind of fans that make guys like Kevin Paul DuPont in the Boston media write the things that they write and completely kiss the ass of Tuukka Rask. Now, a couple callers after that, I'm a Tuukka Rask fan too, like that guy. But I'm also worried about him going into the playoffs too. That guy's not in the minority. But the one thing that we've learned about Tuukka since that cup run against Chicago, it's all mental for him. You take his confidence away, you might as well have Malcolm Subban between the pipes going up against Toronto, Tavares, Matthews, all those guys. So the one thing that I can feel comfortable about going into this playoff run since 13, unlike years past, is that for the first time in a while, they actually have some depth in the defensive core now. They've guys playing well in their defensive pairings. McAvoy's becoming a premier defenseman. For some god reason, Chara is the Tom Brady of defensemen and does not age and is still playing at a very high level. So if Tuukka Rask is going to have any confidence issues this postseason, I'm going to be very shocked. And that's when you can start questioning Tuukka Rask as a goalie, because again, for the first time in a while, we can sit there and say, okay, it's not going to be all on him. You can't expect the goalie to turn into Tim Thomas every postseason circa 2011. The defense has to step up and shut down the opposing offense. Obviously, the caller that said the offense has been an issue, that goes without saying, but it starts with the defense before you go to the goalie. You can look at the goals that are scored and how the team is playing before that opponent scores, and you can sit there and say, if you know hockey, that's on the goalie or that's on the defense. If the defense steps up this year and gives Tuukka some comfortability and some leash room, if you will, we can make a run to the cup. I truly believe that, and you can get a team like Tampa Bay on their heels.
Carlo being healthy is huge this year, too.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
By the way, when you say that he had a 903 save percentage, that was against Ottawa. Ottawa, who had one player.
Yeah, Ottawa just bored everybody to death.
No, Ottawa had one player.
You're right.
Series.
I'm just saying Ottawa decided they scored first, they went into a shell and won 1-0 or 2-1.
And now look at Ottawa.
Yeah.
It's a joke. All right, we will be right back here at the they're not the headlines. Here we go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Getting treatment yesterday, was feeling much better. We'll probably know a lot more today when he tries to get on the court and go do some things. But I feel like he's going to be okay just because it's Marcus. So I think we all take him for granted. I think he's going to be okay, but he's day-to-day right now.
98.5, the Sports Hub, with Toucher and Rich. That's Danny Ainge on the program yesterday, relating his feelings on the injury.
And to that,
ha, 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 ha.
You know, yeah. Do you remember the good times when he said that just yesterday morning about Marcus Smart?
Yeah.
That's not really what's happening at all, because they said that Marcus Smart suffered something very convoluted sounding, a partial avulsion of his left oblique abdominal muscle off his iliac crest.
You got an iliac crest is a dangerous piece of equipment.
I would think
it is. It is the part of the body God failed us. When they were constructing human beings, the iliacovalchuk is the worst part of your body to get injured.
That's its nickname. So a bottom line, he's coming back. The timeline, at least, is 4 to 6 weeks. They're saying that would be the first 2 series if the Celtics are lucky enough to get that far, which I believe that they'll at least get to the second round. And then after that, who knows? It matters who they're matching up against. However, this is, and the schedule, by the way, was released as well. So we now know that Sunday at 1 o'clock is the first game against the Pacers. And then it goes all the way to Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the TD Garden, back to Indy, or to Indy rather, on Friday. Ooh, that's a nice 8:30 game.
Woo!
All right. Starting it late. And then
they are just like, screw you.
Yeah, that's...
They're just like, we're dumping them at 1 or we're putting them on at 8:30.
8:30, my God. And that's with, like, West Coast games during the first round. And you're putting that at 8:30?
They're just like... I will imagine it's because of the Indiana's presence
the
in the
starless
game.
Pacers right now. So, you don't have Oladipo, so, I mean... And they know that people want to see the Celtics, but everyone knows that, knock on wood, you'll see the Celtics in the second round against some sort of superstar, whether it be Joel Embiid, if his knee's not all screwed up like we heard, or Kawhi Leonard or whoever. It's going to be a bigger matchup. Nobody wants to see the Pacers right now as they are. Yeah. And they even get the shaft on Easter Sunday, because both Sunday games are 1 o'clock games. It's just right in the middle of your afternoon.
Right. Because they've obviously labeled this as by far the worst series in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they have. If you go by when they're playing the games.
I'm trying to see who else. So in the East, you've got, well, everyone's going to want to see the Milwaukee Bucks play because of Giannis, even though they're playing Detroit.
Detroit without Blake Griffin, too.
Yeah, but you know
so
what?
He's just not going to play.
Yeah, that knee has kept him out the last few games. I bet you he doesn't play.
And then you got Toronto versus Orlando. People love Kawhi Leonard, so I could see that happening. Getting a better slot. Philadelphia versus Brooklyn. People love the 76ers, although
Brooklyn's going to be a pain in the ass to beat, though.
It's Philly and New York.
I mean, that's the other
point.
That's
all you got to know.
Yeah. Two big markets. Yeah, and Brooklyn's going to be tough. Keep an eye on that round, because Brooklyn's been playing extremely well. And you know what's weird about that, too, is that if you're someone like Kevin Durant and you're considering whether you want to go to New York, why would you go to the Knicks when Brooklyn has these young players that are kind of getting their stuff together without a superstar? So it just, everything you see starts to become a little more tempting, and maybe even to Kyrie Irving as well, which brings me to the search for Anthony Davis and the way that Danny Ainge is probably going to trade the farm for him.
I got
to
give you credit, Rich. I didn't see this coming.
Okay.
You were talking about all of this. I didn't see the Davis tie-in.
So Anthony Davis,
that was impressive,
on his final day, shows up to the Pelicans game, and he's wearing a shirt that says, "That's all, folks," in the big Bugs Bunny font, which I'm sure the people of New Orleans just loved.
The like, five people who care? Wait, why would you do that? What a prick.
That's being a dick. That is just like...
To F you to the people that bought tickets so you could get paid. Wow. Yeah. The people of New Orleans were just, is it because they booed him once he said he wanted to get out of there?
Alvin Gentry said it perfectly. You have the Gentry sound here?
I don't have Gentry. I've got
Gentry said he's a good kid who got bad advice. Well, that's what he told the media afterwards.
So he's pissed at the fan base for getting mad at him when he said he wanted out?
You know who I bet he got that bad advice from? LeBron. I guarantee you this
or Rich
all
Paul,
comes from
or
LeBron.
Or Rich Paul,
which
one
is
the
LeBron.
Other. They're the same.
Rich Paul, his agent, is controlled by LeBron. So
LeBron making a lot of good choices recently.
Yeah, I mean, everything imploded. The whole Magic Johnson thing, all of this stuff, it all comes from bad decisions from LeBron. So Anthony Davis was asked about his shirt, and I just love this answer.
Are you more of a Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck guy?
All of them. I love them all. I'm a big cartoon guy. Looney Tunes is actually my favorite. So.
We got to ask, why did you choose that T-shirt?
I didn't choose it. I actually didn't choose it. It was hanging for me already when I put my clothes on. So.
Do you know who hung it?
No. Not sure.
So, AD, just to make sure, so you don't choose it, you wear every night, somebody lays out your clothes,
every night, Big Shot lays out what I'm going to wear in the game, so I have no control in that, I just put it on.
Somebody else chose the clothes for me.
That's right.
But listen,
they always
not everyone can be five. I think my kids, when they were five, picked out their own clothes.
My Twitter got hacked. That's the new. Yeah. That's the NBA's version of my Twitter got hacked.
No, he's being coy and like a little silly goose, that unibrowed prick. I can't believe that he came in there. Who are you mad at? You wanted to leave. Are you mad at the fans? Are you mad at the city of New Orleans?
How about somebody leaves that shirt out and you see it and you go, I can't wear that today.
No one left the shirt out for him. What is he talking about? These guys usually come out and, you know, Westbrook comes out in a pair of $1 million jeans.
Oh, on paper, this was all so perfect. It was supposed to be Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, good. And they were going to be loved by the city, and they were going to win a million championships, and then you find a-hole number one and a-hole number two waiting behind the
Kyrie
door.
Kyrie Irving.
You're like, I know you're great, but it's killing me.
Kyrie Irving didn't touch what Anthony Davis did.
No, I agree. And Kyrie Irving, as I said, keeps going back and forth. Like what he said yesterday, I thought was a shot of humility. Now, is he going to kick me in the balls and make me like dislike him one more time? Probably. But for now, we're in that little makeup relationship type thing where he goes, you know what? All the BS that I put you guys through and it was off and it's on me professionally. I caused a lot of BS. I thought that was a humble moment. And then here comes Anthony Davis. Hey, I'm going to be part of your team next year. That's all, folks. Just put a middle finger on your T-shirt. Just do that. And with a Pelicans logo. And you should have worn that out there. Just a giant middle finger.
Do you want him or not?
Do
you want him or not?
I want Anthony Davis.
Okay.
And it pisses.
So what are we talking about here? You're talking about a guy that's obviously everyone knows is very talented and one of the best players in the NBA, and he's just said, I can do nothing wrong. That no matter what I do, I'm still going to be wanted. No matter what I do, I'm still going to get paid.
Yep.
Which is a very, very bad trait to have. That lack of humility is a bad trait.
The more you look around the league, the more you see this.
Well, no, because the players control everything.
Exactly.
In the NBA.
What I'm saying is, regardless of what NBA star the Celtics trade for or wind up with, I mean, we've discovered Kevin Durant is a sensitive prick over the last year or two. I mean, LeBron James, I mean, how many years have we talked about LeBron James? Kyrie Irving has been up and down. You found this out about Anthony Davis. I think if you go through the superstars that are going to make $200 million, more often than not, you'll find personalities like this, specifically because in the NBA, the players have the hammer.
How tough is it to be Tim Duncan? How tough is it just to be
Tim Duncan? Is an outlet. Find me. How many Tim Duncans are there out there?
But don't you think it would just be easy just to be like, or Al Horford. Give me Al Horford.
No, Al Horford. You can be brash and funny, and you can be confident, and you can say things. I mean, you can be Charles Barkley, who was loved by a lot of people. You just have to.
You know what? Draymond Green. Say this about Draymond Green. Draymond Green may be a prick, and he might say things that piss people off. But I think he bleeds for that Golden State Warriors team.
He's not making... Look, Al Horford is making a lot of money, but I think we can all agree he's not in the class of Durant and all those people. I'm saying if you want an impact superstar on your team, this personality comes with it.
Kawhi Leonard.
Listen, you can be full of bombast. You can be humorous. You can be loud. You can talk crap. There's a far difference... between that and being a
clueless prick that can't read the room.
All right, you talk about Kawhi Leonard. How were the last 8 months in San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard?
They weren't great.
No, and he acted like an ass to that organization. Popovich, and a guy who's great to play for and almost impossible to piss off because the players love him, he pissed Popovich off the last 8 months of the year.
You make a great point.
I mean, look, Kawhi Leonard's been quiet in Toronto. We'll see how he is when he gets his next big deal and goes somewhere else.
You don't have to be quiet. In fact, it's better if you don't. It's better for your brand if you don't. You don't have to be a giant prick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.